I'm excited that you're here, and I'm looking forward to the day that we can gather back again in person to worship. But isn't it cool that we don't have to skip worship, but that we can use this platform to kind of focus together on God? And I just want to say that I think God has something He wants to say to you this morning. So I want to invite you to lean in and to listen. And so with that in mind, why don't we begin our time with just a little bit of prayer? I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer we've been using most of the weeks that we've been doing this gathering together, where I'm just going to say a line and I want you to pray it after me. So let's bow our heads and talk to God. Heavenly Father, would you open our hearts to hear from you?
Would you open our hearts to hear from you?
Would you prepare our minds to hear from you?
Would you prepare our minds to hear from you?
Would you speak to us?
Would you speak to us?
Would you soften our hearts?
Would you soften our hearts?
We need to hear from you.
We need to hear from you.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, like I said, I'm really glad you guys are here. I want to ask you a question to start off with, and that is, have you ever heard of the phrase fear-mongering? Fear-mongering. Maybe you've heard that lately. Let me give you a definition for that in case you're not sure what that means. Fear-mongering means the action of deliberately arousing public fear or alarm about a particular issue. Now, if you think about it, there have been a lot of accusations of fear-mongering lately. I mean, some people accuse the government, some people accuse the media, some people accuse China. I mean, it seems to be everywhere, these accusations of fear-mongering. But I personally think that all of this blaming is misplaced. See, I'm convinced that all of us, each one of us, all of you listening to this, me speaking right now, all of us are actually responsible for our own fear-mongering. I mean, if you think about it, we deliberately arouse fear and alarm in ourselves. We're really good at that. And it kind of makes sense, right? Because it seems like, or at least we feel like, there is something to be afraid of. And right now it's COVID-19, but it doesn't have to be COVID-19. In fact, if it's not COVID-19, it's going to be something else, right? There's always something else out there to be afraid of. And all of us are experts. We're like professionals when it comes to finding something to be afraid of. Some of us even have the habit of finding something to be afraid of. Well, interestingly, as I've looked around the past few weeks, one of the things that I've noticed, or I've seen a lot of times, is people addressing fear. Maybe you've noticed it as well. I've seen it on billboards around, but you've seen titles or things that talk about this, like faith and fear, or faith versus fear, or choosing faith over fear. Now, those all sound good, right? They look good on a graphic, maybe, but the truth is, what exactly do any of those mean? And what do those look like, and how are those statements even helpful? Well, what we're going to see today from a story out of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is that according to Jesus, faith is actually a version of fear. Faith is actually a version of fear. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that statement a little bit later. And we're going to see that Jesus not only talks about that, but he illustrates that in Mark chapter 4. See, Mark records this great story that we're all familiar with that we're going to kind of dive into today. Now, like I said, we all know this story. We've talked about this story. In fact, we talked about this story a few weeks ago when we were on Mark 4 through our series of the Gospel of Mark. But I think there's an aspect to this story that maybe we've missed, or at least I know I have overlooked this in the past. Let me just kind of tell you what's going on. The story begins with Jesus Jesus and his disciples, they needed a break. So they did what they normally do when they need a break. They hopped into some boats and they took a journey across the Sea of Galilee when all of a sudden this furious storm blows in. You're familiar with the story. The waves were breaking over the bow of the boat, and before long they realized that they thought they were going to drown. There were more waters coming into the boat than they could throw out of the boat. And while I'm sure many of these guys could swim, I mean, some of them were professional fishermen, they all knew that it was futile to swim in the middle of a storm, that nobody could swim in the middle of a storm, at least not for very long. And so they were afraid. Now, why were they afraid? They were afraid because they had something to be afraid of. Well, meanwhile, and you know what happens next in the story, Jesus is in one of the boats and he's asleep on a cushion. which seems a little bit odd at this moment. But as we're about to see, Jesus is about to teach them something about faith and fear. And I think maybe Jesus wants to teach us something about faith and fear as well. So what happens next is the disciples, they wake Jesus up and they ask him this question. Look at this. They say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, think about that for a minute. Sounds a little bit silly if you really think about it, because the disciples weren't the only ones at risk of drowning. I mean, Jesus is in the boat with them, so that means that he's also at risk of drowning as well. But they ask him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" But the truth is, I think that maybe a lot of us are feeling that same way right now. "God, don't you care if I drown? Don't you care if I can pay my bills? Don't you care if I can feed my family? Don't you care if I keep my job? Don't you care if I can finish school? Don't you care if I can get married? Don't you care if I can stay married? God, don't you care?" I think a lot of us feel exactly how the disciples felt at this moment. Well, back to the story, if you remember what happens next. Instead of verbally answering this question, Jesus instead gets up and he has a conversation with the wind and the waves, and he tells the wind and the waves to be still, and all of a sudden the wind and the waves listen to Jesus and they're still and there's this calm. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and he asks a question. And it seems like a silly question, maybe even an insensitive question in light of what just happened. But he asks them this. "Why? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Why or do you still have no faith? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Like, after all we've been through together, after all we've experienced together, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? Why do you still not trust me? After all you've experienced with me, why do you still not trust me? See, I imagine Jesus thinking to himself at that moment that, you know, I kind of see what's happening here. You guys, you placed your faith in the storm. Like, you actually think that the storm determines your destiny. Well, the story goes on. According to Mark, he tells us that after the storm subsided, like after the storm calmed down, the disciples were not relieved. And this I find to be kind of the craziest part of the story, because Mark tells us that after the storm subsided, they, that is the disciples, were terrified. What that means is that they were more afraid after the storm subsided than they were during the storm when they thought they would drown. And so they asked each other a question. They didn't ask Jesus a question. They asked each other a question. And it's a very important question. In fact, I think it's a question that you and I need to ask and answer as well. It may be the most important question that we ever ask and answer ourselves. And here's the question they asked. They were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this?" See, at that moment, the disciples realized that they had misplaced their fear. They realized that they had feared, or that they had trusted in, the wrong thing. They had feared the storm, but Jesus scared them to death. See, when it comes to fear and faith, what I want us to know is that fear and faith are really two sides of the same coin. So with that in mind, with that thought in mind, that fear and faith are two sides of the same coin, I want to ask you a few questions. Look at these. Will we put our faith in a global pandemic? Will we trust in this pandemic to determine our destinies? Have we placed our confidence in a virus? Now, when you look at those questions, they seem a little bit silly, right? They seem kind of ridiculous. They don't seem to make sense. But I kind of think that was Jesus' point. Like, when he asked the disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" I think he could have asked them this instead. "Why are you trusting in the storm? Why not trust in me instead? Why are you trusting in the storm? Why are you worried about this storm? Why aren't you trusting in me? Or maybe, why aren't you fearing me instead? See, like I said at the beginning, faith is a version of fear. We don't like to think of it that way, but it really is. It's a version of fear. So we kind of have to ask ourselves this. What do we fear more? Our circumstances or our God? Why don't you ask yourself that question? What do you fear more? Your circumstances or God? What do you fear more? COVID-19 and what could possibly happen? Or your God? What do you fear more? Your living conditions, your financial status, your job status? Or our God? See, with all that's going on in the world, I want you to know that there really is something to be afraid of. But it's not the coronavirus. And it's not our financial status. And it's not our potential job loss. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10. Look at this. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Seems a little bit frightening, doesn't it? Seems a little bit scary. Seems a little odd that Jesus would say this about his heavenly Father, right? But what Jesus says is that there is something, or in fact, someone to be afraid of. But look at what Jesus says next, right after he says this. This is incredible. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Think about what Jesus says here. Yes, there is someone to be afraid of, but that someone whom we are to fear is the same someone who has every single hair on our head numbered. And for people like Alan Holmes, that's not many, right? But the truth is, he's got all of our hairs numbered. He cares for each of us, and all of us are worth more than all the birds that he takes care of on a regular basis. See, we have a God who should be feared, but the God who should be feared cares for each of us. He cares for all of us. He cares for us so much that he sent his Son to live among us and to die for us, so that we could have a relationship with him. You know, last Sunday, after our Easter gathering, I went home, and as you know, it was kind of rainy, so we watched one of my favorite movies. It's actually one of my favorite stories that they turned into a movie. It's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I just love that movie. But there's this scene at the end of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where the Fontumnus and Lucy are standing at Cair Paravel, and they're watching Aslan, the lion, walk away. Aslan is kind of the representative of Jesus in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they're describing him, and I think their description of him is so powerful. Because they say of Aslan, who, like I said, represents Jesus, he's not a tame lion, but he is good. He's not a tame lion, but he is good. I think that phrase captures the tension between faith and fear. See, our God is not tame. Our God is not predictable. Our God doesn't do things the way we think he should do them. Our God doesn't act or react the way we would act or react. Our God is actually terrifying, as the disciples found out in the boat with Jesus. But at the same time, he's good, and he cares for us, and as a result, he can be trusted. So here's what I want you to do this week. I want to challenge you to trust in Jesus, who is terrifying, or maybe even to phrase it this way, to fear Jesus more than you fear the circumstances of what is going on around us right now. I think that we live in a society that is driven by fear. We make decisions based on fear. We let fear consume our thoughts in one way or another. But those of us who are Christians, we have one greater than our fears to fear. And we don't need to be scared of him, but we should fear him because he is in control and because he cares for us, even though he is way bigger than us. So my challenge for you is to replace your fear, not with faith, but with a fear of the one who is the one we should be afraid of, our God, who is greater than everything that's going on. And next week, we're going to come back and we're going to look at some of the disciples and kind of follow up this story to see how they kind of played this whole thing out, this whole lesson that they learned on how they were terrified of Jesus. It changed everything for them. We're going to pick that up next week out of the book of Acts. Be paying attention to the weekly email or maybe on Facebook this week. I'll tell you what you can read ahead of time to prepare. It's actually in Acts chapter 4. But so there it is. I told you. But go so we can see how they kind of lived out this lesson that they learned from Jesus. That faith is a version of fear, but that we have one to fear who is greater than the things that we do fear. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to look at this incredible story. And I know that we don't really like to talk about or even think about the fact that we should fear you. We don't talk about that often because we don't want to be afraid of you. But the disciples who were in the boat with Jesus were terrified of Jesus after he calmed the storm. And I think that maybe we need to replace our fears of the storms around us with a fear of you, who is in control of the storm. And would you give us the courage to do that? I know that a lot of us, myself included, we've been talking about this. You know, Liz and I have been talking about this, that we are on. But it seems to be, like, fear is everywhere. Like everything we hear is promoting fear. But may we as your followers be those who fear you more than the storms that are around us. Give us the courage to do that. Give us the focus to do that. Turn our attention to you. We love you. And we just want to kind of, in light of all of that right now, God, we want to sing you a song. And we want to worship you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.